Blog Talk Radio.
Hold it now.
Yes, I fooled a couple of listeners tonight. You're not used to hear intro music. The intro music is back, and this is We Talk Productions, one of the few Black-owned radio stations that discuss solutions that affect Black communities. Present Black Urban America tonight with Meshawn Williams and Kenny Jones. How you doing, Meshawn?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm fine. And if you have a comment or a question, you may call in, especially you laptop listeners, at 516-531-9540. That's 516-531-9540. This is the lineup, the weekly lineup. Saturdays, we have Provocative Thoughts with Carlton Sneed at 8 p.m. On Tuesday, we have myself with Black Urban America, with the fourth Tuesday with Tori Balaam on Wednesday. Starting tomorrow, we have The Cutting Edge with Meshawn. Now, if you need hand sanitizers, you can go to www.wetalk.bettersanitizer.com. That's www.wetalk.bettersanitizers.com, or you may contact me at 404-482-4804 to place the order. On Sunday, June 7th at 3 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. That's Sunday, June 7th at 3 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time, there will be an all-Black male panel discussing various solutions affecting the Black community. Now, this will be a virtual male panel on Facebook. So look out on your timeline, your messages, for I'll be sharing more of the information and what have you. Tonight, guests. We're going to. Oh, I lost. tonight's guest, we have, before I bring the guest on, I just want to say a couple of things. What is the status of the black woman in America? It appears that she's running our communities. It appears she's the head of the family. Don't you know that 62% of black women, no, excuse me, 60% of black women hold white-collar jobs. They're more than 80, that this is a, there are more than 80% of black families that are headed by women. That's 4 million households. 4 million households are ran by black women. That's a couple of reasons why on June 7th at 3 o'clock we're having this all-black male virtual panel. Because we got to give our sisters the help. And another thing, don't you know in the last 3 years that there are 100 shootings by police of unarmed black men? Unarmed. It's not like they committed a robbery. And the one that's... And what gets me, that these officers, nobody ever got convicted. I think one officer out of 100 killings got convicted. One officer, unarmed. And the last time with Mr. Floyd, God rest his soul, all right, rest in peace. It's like they were just standing around like it's an everyday occurrence in killing a brother. No wonder these young people are going crazy in the streets and the protests. But those are the two things that we're going to be discussing this evening with the guest. She's the co-founder of Women Be Ball. She founded this All League Women with Miss Amanda Leskey. And they found a way for women to play basketball past their college days. And we have on the line Miss Rita Forte. Welcome to Black Urban America.
Yes, yes, Rita Forte, that's correct. What's going on, people?
Nothing much. Rita,
yep.
Meet Michelle.
Y'all can hear me okay?
Meet Rita.
Hello, how are you?
Hi, what's your name again? I'm sorry.
Michonne,
how you doing? Are you co-host the show?
Yes.
No, not after tonight. She have her own show tomorrow night. She start her own show tomorrow night. Yeah, but she be a good trooper. She be here like every Tuesday for the last couple of months, and she be really a champ and everything. And I really appreciate her, and I'm really looking forward to working with her, you know, through these endeavors. Now. Which one you want to tackle first, Ms. Forte? Do you want to tackle the shootings? Because, see, to me,
I think we gotta go with that first. Even though I'm black woman all the way. I'm part of a political black women's group, so that's definitely my heart. But I mean, what's going on now, I think it's just at the top of my head, top of my mind. I was just telling my friend, I haven't been able to really do any work that, like, I didn't have a deadline and really didn't need to get done in this past week, like all last week and these first couple weeks, the weekend. I just haven't even been able to concentrate. You know what I mean? I've just been watching it develop. It's kind of how, like, when coronavirus first came out, remember, like, every week it was something, and then the stay-at-home order, and then the numbers came out, and then it's basically developing like that, and I'm just, I'm really just watching it. So we could talk about that first for sure.
So what's your feelings about it? See, I got a lot of feelings about it. Because I've been brutalized by police on two different occasions in my lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
So this is nothing new to me. It's been going on for centuries. It's just now that, how should I say this? I want to be politically correct. It's the other culture invention. The other culture invention with these phones and these cameras came to bite them in the tuchus. It bit them in the tuchus.
Yep.
We caught them red-handed. Yep. We used to complain in the early days, in my adolescent years, in my young adult years. People say, oh, you deserve it. You were doing something wrong. You shouldn't be driving so fast or whatever and so forth and so on. Now, they see that brothers weren't exaggerating. We weren't kidding. Now, even with the phones, like, my man had his knee in his neck looking at the guy with the phone like, so what? And he's not the only one. It was two more on his leg and back. And then there was the fat one, you know, with his hand on his hip, standing looking out.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, he didn't even, the one that, yeah, the Asian dude that was just standing there, he didn't even have no type of nothing on his face. It was like a blank stare, like almost like he was numb to this type of activity. Like, this is normal, you know, this is normal. Like, I don't care, you know what I mean? I have a blank face. And the cop who had the knee on his neck was the same way. It was like blank stare into emptiness, into like evil, into just, do you have a soul, a spirit in there? You know what I mean? So, I mean, you know, my feelings are, I completely agree with you, you know, as far as it's been going on, you know, and finally, you know, things are being, you know, filmed and things like that. I remember the first time, you know, I'm calling from Oakland, California, and the first time it really, really happened like this, and this one we only had flip phones, I think. We didn't even have, like,
well, it happened before that. You remember with Rodney King? That was really the first time.
That wasn't by phone.
Somebody had a camera.
Yeah,
it was
by camera.
Everybody didn't have a phone back then. We were still with the beepers. And it was the first time police was caught on camera beating up a black man.
Right, right. And I'm talking about fast forward in 2009 was, you know, like I said, I'm from Oakland, like when Oscar Grant happened right out here. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That was the first time on cell phones that it went like all national and all around the world. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I remember speaking out at that time because I actually used to be an actual DJ, radio personality. I was a DJ, hip-hop DJ for 10 years. And so as the platform that I had at that time, you know, I spoke out about it. And I remember that being kind of the last time I really like spoke out about something like that and then followed it up with action. Cause that's definitely what we need. That's what's next. Yes, we need these protests though as well too, and that's how I feel about it. I kind of almost as like, yeah, burn it up. You know what I mean? You mess with people for too long, that's what you're going to get. You know what I mean? We tried the peaceful protest. Colin Kaepernick been blackballed. He's been kneeling. We've been trying to, you know, hands up, don't shoot. We've been trying to say, hey, we don't have a firearm. We've been trying to say, hey, I'm going to reach for this. I don't have nothing in my hands. No, it's a wrap. It's a wrap. Like, there, you know, we've gotten to this point. It's a boiling point where it's like, no more. We need complete reform. We need to tear down the structure. We need to implement and have economic inclusion for Black folks. I don't know. I feel like I'm not sure how we became friends on Facebook, you know, and how you, you know, wanted to have me on this show, but I think it's probably through ABOS, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're
yes.
aware of ABOS, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
African
so, you know,
descendant
I'm a,
of slavery. Come on, Ms.
Yeah. American.
Wow, you question me? You question my consciousness? I know the preview. I know what ADOS is. Yeah. I read up on. I'm aware of it.
Well, I'm a part of the ADOS movement. I'm a part of the leadership out here for the Bay Area chapters. You know what I mean? And you know what the ADOS movement is all about is for reparations and a Black agenda, which includes.
I would just get ready to say, this is the perfect time. We got America on the ropes now. This is the perfect time to make.
Yep.
First of all, have a Black convention to establish.
Yeah.
A Black agenda, you know, get these community activists, get these Black businessmen, get these Black lawyers, stay away from the politicians, Black and white, because soon as you have these politicians involved with you, they're going to hijack the movement. Have them sit on the other side of the table, and you sit on the other side of the table, here's our agenda, criminal justice reform, educational reform. A reparation.
All of that.
Matter of fact, if we don't do this now, our next step, we take you, like Malcolm, we take you to the UN and we're going to bring charges up on the American government. You
that's
got
it.
On the road. And don't sell that's out. And leave the white folks home. Leave the white folks home. I'm sorry to say that, but every time they get involved with our movements, look at hashtag Me Too. Look at Black Lives Matter. They've been hijacked.
Straight up. We cannot let people co-opt this movement at all. You know what I mean? And so, that's how
I see them trying already. Pray with everybody. One whole hand. Nah, this ain't the time for kumbaya. Don't fall for it. Continue.
Yep.
Down to the pavement, network, organize, have meetings before the march, have meetings after the march. I'm afraid that they don't have any, you know, when this died down, what is the next step? You know, I think they don't have that plan yet. I don't hear that, like, where do we go from here? What do we want? Okay, you got our attention. All right, now what you want from this?
I've been telling people about. Go ahead.
Okay, I wanted to know, you know, since this systemic racism goes back to the 1700s for the slave patrol, where the police came from. How are we going to truly be able to find somebody who can actually police the police when they're all bad? And the reason I say they're all bad, because if one's there doing something wrong and they turn their head, they look the other way or don't say anything, that makes them bad also.
Yep. I know there's a lot of data out there. I don't know. I'm not, you know, versed on it completely, but I know there's a lot of data out there supporting the fact that having community organizations, like every 10 community organizations that are there for the community and to, you know, I mean, basically, yeah, help, you know, help bridge the gap, police the police per se. You know, it lessens the percentage amounts by like everywhere from 5 to 10%, like as far as police brutality cases, Because bottom line is, we're not going to get rid of crime. You know what I mean? That's not, that's utopia, right? We're, that's not happening. So people are still going to commit crime, right? So,
right.
But, you know, to bring down the number of, you know, police interactions that happen unlawfully with our community and with the people, you got to have community involvement. And just the more community organizations that you have in a city around that, the less it will happen. You know what I mean? I know that there's some statistics around that. But I don't know. I've also heard about people talking about they want to defund the police. You know, have you heard about people talking about that?
Yes, I talked to someone today. This in the suburbs of Chicago right before I came on, and they're talking about defunding the police departments because of some things that their president said, Bill Presser's president said, that the mayor of Joliet gave the orders to the police, basically you can do whatever you want to with them, and some black men were dragged by their faces. And I just found this out like about an hour and a half ago. And they're also talking about stopping access, like trucks to bring in food to the stores and things into the neighborhood to block it. So that's
why
the whole thing.
You said they're talking about bringing in food into the neighborhood?
No, stopping. Because.
Oh.
A lot of these areas are black areas, and what they were telling me was they were talking, they actually heard them talking, like, okay, this is how we're going to stop their food. We're going to stop the supplies. We're going to block the trucks from coming in and bringing it to them. To stop all this.
Well, that don't surprise me. That don't surprise me at all. That doesn't surprise me at all. And far as the police being defunded, it'll never happen.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Matter of fact, from this, they would get stronger. Because let me tell you, if it wasn't for the Black Panther Party, there had never been an invention called SWAT. It's because of the Black Panther Party of the 60s. SWAT, SWAT was invented. They just gonna get stronger. I'm telling you, they're gonna bring out different toys. I mean, they're already running over people with vans and cars and what have you. And it's not gonna happen. That's just a fantasy. Cause we live in terms of black communities, we live in a police state. They do not protect and serve our communities. They don't.
No.
Maybe the rich black communities with the mansions and the palaces, yes. But no, not our communities. Not working and middle income communities. You know, so they just gonna get more tough, and they cool now. They're not so cool and calm, you know, because when things die down, people go home, and folks start talking and planning and making trips to the state houses in their state. They gonna go back to normal.
You don't think this has turned a corner at all? And
I'll tell you one thing. History repeats itself. We've been here before. We had America on the ropes. We had America to their knees, and the police couldn't handle it. They poured in the United States Army. They said, forget the National Guard. They brought in the United States Army. I was a little fella back then. You know, I was no more than 8, 9 years old. I saw Army tanks coming down my avenue. army tape. They, if anything, they're going to make the police more military. Yeah. Police, the police, the criminal justice system, the criminal justice system is a $1 billion industry. It's a $1 billion industry. They got huge budgets. Huge budgets. No, they're not going. If anything, they're going to be cool for a month or two, but I give them to October, November. They'll be back to normal.
Something going to happen around election time, huh?
I don't know. It's happening now. You know, the last 3 days, about 6 or 7 officers across the United States have been fired. They tasing people. They running over people with their police cars. The crowd wasn't rowdy. This happened in NYPD in New York. A crowd was standing behind the barriers, and they weren't moving fast enough. And two of those police cars drove into the crowd. They tell me, how's that turning the corner?
Yeah.
Oh, we can't shoot you. We'll just run you over. We're not going to shoot you. We'll run you over.
Well, I don't think everybody is going to be, we'll let them do what they're going to do. Because there are people that are really and truly angry, and there's people who are ready to stand up and fight for what they believe in. Even if there's just a few, they're out there.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. But I'm not condoning violence. I just want to go on the record. I'm not condoning violence. I understand the behavior. I understand it's been boiling, not for years, but for decades. It's been brutal.
Yeah.
And it's about time. I say it's about time. Me?
Right.
It's about time. It's about time.
Yeah.
Well, white people don't say
prison,
anything about
living in years. They arrest. On charges that are nonviolent. That are nonviolent charges. They're given 10-15 years of nonviolent charges. You know, the criminal justice system, from the court system, from the law enforcement agency, it is ridiculous. It's anti-black man. It's anti-black male. You got over 1.5 million brothers locked up in state and federal prisons.
Well, when they lock them up, they can't vote. They can't come out here and make money. They can't protect their families. So it's just more of a sophisticated slavery.
Yeah, it's sophisticated, but it's a sophisticated system that'll need to be that needs to be dismantled and untwined.
I totally agree.
Yeah, it is. It is, but it's pretty straightforward, you know, as well too. At the same time, you know what I mean? It's like, what are we listening to? Are we going by our constitution? You know what I mean? Are we talking about freedom and justice, and liberty for all? What are we? You know, what does that really mean? You know what I mean? And if you apply that to all of these structures and these systems, it's like it's not that difficult. What is needed for, you know, reconciliation? What is needed for reform, repair, and all of that? You know what I mean? It is time to repair. You know, I worked for Marianne Williamson's presidential campaign last year as a field organizer here in the Bay Area. And, you know, she was the only candidate for reparations until, like, Tom Steyer came on. But she also, you know, after she dropped out of the race, you know, she have started this movement around Repair America. Like, it's completely broken on all sides. And it's like, if you haven't realized that by, you know, this pandemic and Trump and, you know, all the police brutality that Black people, you know, have endured, then I don't know where you live. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
This shit is
yeah.
broken.
You know what? I come from a different school of thought.
We need to be on Repair America. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I understand about repairing America, but I'm on a different kind of school of thought. And people tell me I shouldn't apologize for thinking like this, but I'm going to be apologetic for thinking like this. I'm a Black man. I'm about Black people mm-hmm. first, Black people only, and we repair Black America first before we could do anything else. We got to clean our own closets out. We got to clean up our communities. We got to clean up our families. We got to clean up our – we got to clean up our thinking and how we treat one another. We got to repair Black America first, because that's
and
why – this is the mm-hmm. reason why they feel they could come in our neighborhoods and shoot us down like dogs and
yeah.
laugh about it the next day.
Yeah, but why is the reason why? But you have to talk about the reason. Yes, it's up to us to clean up Black America. But why is Black America even the way it is in the first place? We were put in this system as a bottom caste. White privilege doesn't even exist unless there's Black people as a bottom caste in this society. It doesn't even exist without us existing where we are at the bottom. So if you look at that, right, what does that create within Black America and our communities? It's going to create what you know, not everything. I'm not going to blame everything on, you know, these systems that were created not to work for us. But a lot has to do with that. We live on top of each other. We don't have enough money for opportunities. We're not as educated fully. You know what I mean? We're struggling. We went through, you know, the crack era. Like, it's unbelievable. You know, Jim Crow, I'm just talking about, it's unbelievable the infliction that Black America has had to take on because of what the U.S. has racialized and put those systems in place to do. So, yeah, how do you think we're going to treat each other? It's a full-on, you know what I mean? It's a full-on mess out here because of that. So we can't do one without the other. So I agree with you, but there's a big reason why we're in that dilemma.
You want to know why we're in that dilemma, Sister Rita? I'm going to tell you why we're in that dilemma. Because we depend too much on the American system. They'll run up into the Chinese neighborhood shooting them down. They'll run into the Sephardic Jews and shoot them down. They'll run into the Korean neighborhoods and shoot them down. They'll run into the Italian neighborhoods and shoot them down. Why they feel like they always got to come in our neighborhoods shooting us down? Why? Because we always begging them for something instead of doing for self. If we start using our we have resources. Matter of fact, we spend $1.3 trillion a year we're number one consumers in the world, not only in the country but in the world. We depend on them for our own educational system instead of using our own resources to build our own schools, to have our own businesses. We don't get any respect from the American institutions because we rely on them too much to survive instead of doing for self. If we do for self, depend on self, and build our own communities, we might see a different attitude from the American systems towards
us. I don't fully agree with that. You know, I used to, you know, that's why I don't fully agree with it. I do agree that we do need to have our own. I do agree with, obviously, entrepreneurism. I've been an entrepreneur ever since I was 21. I'm 38 now. So I've always been someone who's been looking to own my own, to have my own, to create my own. I completely believe in that. I understand that. But there's bigger systems in place that did not make us whole after slavery, literally did not make us whole, to where we don't have, literally, we have 98% of all black owned, we don't own anything, right? Because 98% of black, 98% of black owned businesses have only one employee. That's themselves. We don't have big companies. We don't have no grocery stores owned by black people. We don't have it. We don't have the resources. We don't have the money. They don't give us loans. You know what I mean? It's for housing, all of these things. It's like, I'm not saying all across the board. Obviously, there's a percentage of us that are getting them, but no way type of inclusion, economic inclusion in this country have we ever had. We are literally about 14 to 15% of this nation, right? But we get 2% of SBA loans. 2%. We don't have our own businesses. We don't have anything that where we can support of substantial. You know what I mean? When we look at the pandemic, what are our essential businesses? Grocery stores, right? Maybe some clothing, maybe medical. What else are people, you know, we don't own, you know, toilet paper. It's not one black-owned toilet paper company, period, that we can support. We don't have it. So we first need to be provided with economic inclusion into this nation. Then we can create that. Yeah, we need to create our own Chinatown. For sure. Hands down. But where are we getting that money? Where are we getting it? And it's not about a handout. It's not about needing white America, needing America. It's not about that. It's about the fact that is a debt that's owed to us, and we waiting on it. You know what I mean? So we can, and then leave us alone. We got that. You know what I mean? But without that, I don't see it happening, you know, which is, like I said, I don't want to harp on it, but I really am believing, because I've been looking for what is the real answer to all of this. You know what I'm saying? Like, before MLK died, that's what he was talking about, is getting economic inclusion. Sorry, got assassinated. He was talking about economic inclusion and reparations. You know what I mean? He started to talk about that, like, and then, you know, they cut him off. But, like, that's the final thing that you need.
They're not going to give us reparations. We've been asking for reparations for 40 years. They're not going to give, you can forget about that. They're not going to give us reparations.
I don't know. I highly disagree. That's fine. I'm glad I found someone else. Huh?
I don't think we should ask. I think we should demand and say, you're going to get it. We built this damn country. We will tear it apart, burn it up. We will stop your money. Because when you hit their pocket,
right,
they're going to listen.
That's right. Imagine if all those protesters were out there instead of giving the message. And these, I'm talking about all of those non-black people that are out there protesting. Yes, there's anarchists, whatever. But the message by far is Black Lives Matter. What if all those people finally understood that it's not about, yes, our melanin, our skin, yes, we matter. Okay, we got into that point. Great. I'm glad you guys get that. Now, what y'all need to get is reparations now. Imagine if that happened. You know what I mean? Imagine if that was the message. It's like, we can't carry the message ourselves. We're going to need accomplices. We're going to need allies. So I don't think it's impossible. You know what I mean? I mean, like I said, the main message now in these riots is Black Lives Matter, and that was not the case when Black Lives Matter first came out. That was black people saying it. Now,
well, I
actually, everybody
I think
else
black
understands.
Money,
you know? Huh?
I think black money matters more because they're all getting rich off of it.
That's right.
And that's how
that's
our
right.
boys get hijacked, too, because of these allies. Don't think because we have other cultures down with us that that's a good thing. Other cultures have been down with us in the civil rights movement, the Black Panther Party, all kinds of movements. And before
you know
it, there's
Let
no
them
more
have
movement.
Theirs, if that's what they want. We can do ours without them. We can do another one. It don't have to be the same one they're doing. We can do something that they're not included in, that we don't have to let them join us, be included, or anything.
Yeah.
Like Malcolm said, you can support us, but you can't join us. He knew what he was. He knew what he was talking about too. You can't join us because as soon as you let him in, I'm telling you, the movement is gone. History tells you that.
Yeah. And you do not have to let him in.
I hear you. You know, I hear you. We gotta see how this is gonna come.
Look, the only thing I'm saying, in the past, you know, we made mistakes. We made mistakes in a lot of movies. Learn from those mistakes. I mean, this is a time now, like, a lot of people are shutting in and stuff like that. Look at these different documentaries. You know, they got them all over the place. Look at the mistakes that we did in the past. We made several mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
Learn from the mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
And move forward. That's all. Like Dr. John Henry Clark said, do chapter one, then go chapter two, then chapter three, chapter four. You know, basically develop your agenda. Learn from our mistakes, because we made a lot of them. And the number one biggest mistake that we're trying to get out of, and I know I'm going to get a lot of flack for this, integration. That was a biggie. Because, again, we're trying to be like them, and we're asking for their permission to do for what we need to do for ourselves. I'm just using that as an example.
I do agree with that. I think integration was horrible because when you took black children out of black schools, because I had aunts, uncles, a lot of family members that were teachers when they had all black schools, and they made sure the kids learned, at least where I'm from.
Yeah.
And they taught them their
history. Yeah, go ahead.
Their real history, not what you get when you go to the white schools or in those history books that glorify them, make them look good.
Yeah.
Because they knew their history.
Yeah, I still grapple with a lot of that, but I'm starting to lean. I guess I'm starting to understand the statement of integration, and I only say that because of my background. So, you know, I went to private school my whole life. So I'm talking about from kindergarten all the way through college. Went to a predominantly white institution, PWI, for college as well, too. So how I viewed the world was completely different. When I came out of there at age 21, like, you definitely wouldn't have had me on your show. You know what I mean? Like,
I would love to have you in. I would love to have you in. I would love to have you in. I love a good conversation. Let me tell you something about me. I love other views. I love other insights. My insights and views are more historical. I go by what happened. You know, I don't really think of the utopia thinking, like a kumbaya, and we are the world, and let's make America great again, and stuff like that. I go by what happened to us, how did we get here today, and how can we change it? And I love for people to disagree with me and say, oh, we need the political process. Okay, why we need the political process. If we do the political process, and there I come, I hit him with this. We need our own party. Oh, I really get jumped on in. Oh, I really get jumped. We need to have a black convention with these black politicians, local, state, and federal, develop a black agenda, take it to the White House, and see what we get done. Oh, we need more black businesses. Okay, fine and dandy. We got enough resources in the black community where we don't have to ask them for nothing. Everybody said, oh, we, you know, there's some black people that make toilet paper. It might be one, but they out there. We just got to find them. And imagine all the big black entrepreneurs and black small black business owners buy all their toilet paper from that one black corporation or that one black business that manufactured toilet paper or manufactured desks or things like things like that. You know, I, like I said, I come from a standpoint. I love people with different views. I had black Republicans on. I had black conservatives on. I had radicals on. Because, see, we all don't think alike. We all come from different lands. We all come from different things, have different things. But one thing we should agree upon is one thing. I would sit down and work with a conservative as long as he is in it for the progress of our people. You know, he might have a couple of strategies that I said, that sounds good. But if you close your mind and your ears to somebody that might be more militant, that might be more radical, that might be more progressive, you're missing out. If you close your mind to somebody that might be conservative, that might be to the right, but they're black and stuff like that. They have some things off. They have some things, strategies to bring to the table. We all don't think the same. We all have our, as you young folks said, we all have our different lanes, you know. But these lanes have to come together. Like Malcolm said one time, he was giving a speech. He said, "Yes, I'm a Muslim minister, and on stage I have a Catholic priest. And I have a black Baptist, I have a black Methodist, but we all have one thing in common. We're black men catching hell in America." And that's true.
And there is a black-owned company that is called Freedom Paper Company. It's headquarters in Baltimore, Maryland. And they do make paper products, and they do make toilet paper and everything.
There it is. I knew it had to be one out there. It had to be one. It had to be. It had to be one representative.
Well, his name is Kamos Muhammad. Owns it, and it's out of Baltimore. And it is a black-owned manufacturer.
Yeah, Baltimore. Yeah. He might be on back order. He might be on back order, but they're going right. Let's give him the business. You know, suppose all. Let's say he get a contract with a couple schools, like Jalen Rose got his own school, LeBron got his own school, Diddy got his own school. He got two of them in Harlem. Suppose they get all that paper products from that one man in Baltimore. Man, that's how you keep money in the community. That's how you keep money. And we do have black banks.
He can ship around the country also and have like black people who have trucking companies. I mean, it can be done. It's not impossible.
Yes.
All of it.
We're so used to thinking that we need, we're so used to, and I thought like this for a couple of years too. We think that we're so used to, we feel that we need the white man help. No, we don't. We don't need the help. We don't need their help. We got some beautiful lawyers in this country. We got some beautiful black bankers in this country. We got some beautiful black corporate. They got their own corporation in this country. It's just that we don't know them. You know, we just
not
don't
enough.
Know them.
Yeah, we don't. I mean, actually,
we need to take a page. We need to take a page out of this culture called the Hasidic Jews. We need to take a page out of their economic book, out of their financial book. They'll ask the government for nothing. They got their own schools, their own school buses, their own banks, their own credit unions, their own property, their own land, and they got a couple politicians on the local level and the state level. You know, how do they do it? I don't know. Maybe it's a trust thing, or maybe they work with each other. They got their own warehouses. They got their own trucking company. This is all over the world. This is not just the United States. They are very global. I don't know. We need to take a page out of their economic system and their finances and see how they did it. Because that's what we need to do.
Yeah, possibly. I think we're too far gone, too far integrated for all of that at this point.
Not integrated, that's assimilated. Assimilated. We try to be like them.
Yes.
Like Malcolm said,
yes. No,
we try to make a full migration, a cultural migration. A cultural cultural migration back to our roots and understanding that black folks in the world, well, let the start. Black folks in the United States need to trust each other. And like Marcus Garvey said, do for self, do your own. Hell, have your own religion if you need be. I mean, if it comes to like, if that's going to motivate people, hey, use that. You know, have your own political party. We tried that one time, and we almost were successful. In 1971 or 72, there was a black convention in Cleveland. It was broken up because one of the state's representatives left the convention, and they all disbanded. It happened in Cleveland. Stokes was the mayor of Cleveland. Well, we got a couple minutes left, Sister Rita. You want to tell me about your b-ball and all the activities you're in before we leave?
Wow, that went real fast. You said, do I want to do what?
Tell us a little bit about your b-ball for the ladies, your old women b-ball, and other activities that you're in. We didn't even get to the status of the black woman tonight. I can bring you back like in a couple months if you want to come back.
Yeah, for sure. That's going to be that. Hey, let me come back for that one. I thought this was a, what time is it? Oh, shoot, it is. God, we talked for that long?
We only got we only got 6 minutes and 51 seconds, and I got to close out with a couple messages, you know?
All right, no problem. Well, let me just tell you what I'm involved in. I already told you about, you know, ADOS Bay Area. I'm part of the leadership team out here, and then also I'm a part of this organization that came out of Civil Rights II, 1968, called BWOPA, which is B-W-O-P-A, which stands for Black Women Organized for Political Action. I've been heavily involved with them for like the last 8-9 years. I co-founded two businesses. So one of them is Women's All B-Ball. We've been running for 5 years. We're on pause now because of COVID. But we service over like 2,000 women here in the Bay Area who want to play basketball past college age. Because, you know, this is what I tell everybody so that they can understand why we exist is when you're driving down the street and you look over to the park, I mean, pre-COVID, but you look over to the park and at a basketball court, do you see any women playing? Nope.
Not really.
We guys.
Yeah.
Exactly. But that we play sports in high school and college. I was a sports athlete in college and everything like that. So, but once women finish college, there's no opportunities for us to play just recreationally, like just go to the park and find other women to play with. Yeah, we could play with the guys. It's cool, but it's a different game. So that's why we created Women's All B-Ball. We hold pickup games weekly. for women to just drop in. They want to get their ball on. You know what I mean? So we've been running for 5 years. We was getting ready to open up a league and then have our tournament later on this year too. So that's all a wrap though. But anyways, womensallbball.com. And then my second business is my day-to-day business, which is in marketing consulting and marketing services. So everything from social media management, brand management, video content creation, and also apparel, merch apparel services. So printing T-shirts and doing embroidery as well. That's my day-to-day marketing work. But, out here out of Oakland, California, and thank you so much for having me on. I look forward to coming back.
Yes, we're going to try to have you back in a couple months so we can finish up this interview and whatnot. Okay? And I enjoy having you on. My program is on every Tuesday night at 8 o'clock. Michonne starts tomorrow at 8 o'clock. You know, you can even just call up anytime and listen to us and listen on from the last talk or whatever. But I really appreciate you in coming on tonight. And you
thank
be safe.
I appreciate you as well. One last thing. Sorry, one last thing I meant to plug was I started my own YouTube channel. So look up Rita Forte Live on YouTube. I took the month of May off, but I'm about to start with new shows starting next week. So look up Rita Forte Live on YouTube. Rita Forte Live. Rita Forte Live. Yeah, I usually do my shows on Tuesdays or Thursdays. But just, you know, you can always go to YouTube and check out those shows. But I do them live as well. So I'm on the game as well.
Hey, you be safe out there in that Bay Area.
I will. You guys too. Yeah, where are you broadcasting out of? New York?
No, I broadcasted out of Atlanta. Michonne's broadcasting out of Illinois.
Okay. Y'all
it's
be safe too.
There's no borders. Okay.
All right,
have a nice
thank
evening.
You.
Okay.
All right. Okay.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that's it for tonight. And again, if you need hand sanitizer, you can go to www.wetalk.bettersanitizer.com. You go to www.wetalk.bettersanitizer.com. Or you may contact me to place an order at 404-482-4804. Don't forget, on Sunday, June 7th, at 3 o'clock p.m., there will be a virtual all-black male panel discussing various solutions affecting the black community. There will be an all-black male panel through virtual TV discussing various solutions affecting the black communities on Sunday, June 7th at 3 o'clock p.m. And tomorrow, 8 o'clock p.m., we got Michonne starting off. Okay, so all you cats that listen from last time, I know you are, just listen to our show tomorrow night at 8 p.m., I'm probably going to be on it, and let's see what you have, okay? Michonne, you have a good night, okay?
You too, and you all be safe.
All right. I am because we are because I am. I'm out of here.